I pay paid services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 259. I'm Adam and I'm all on my lonesome apart from Andy Nunny.
Greetings, people. I'm sitting here with my first sip of wine, so you might actually get a sober Andy for once.
And Kirby Marcus Sloan will now introduce the people at the other end of this particular facility.
Well, there's me, and Mary's here sitting beside me, and Julia is standing here. That's the geek daughter, is standing here being patient before I send her off to find people. And then we have some audience members that we'll introduce later.
So has Julia got a T-shirt that says The Geek Daughter on it yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to send her off to get Andrew, maybe Ellis, and Matthew's disappeared.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
He's probably asleep again.
Been posting some lovely things, Kirby. I'm pleased because last time I complained to you when you were convention and not posting enough, and now you're posting loads of really good stuff, so congratulations. It had to happen at some point.
This has been a lot of fun.
What, posting stuff
for people who don't know, we are broadcasting live from ConGT, live recording from ConGT in Clarksville, Tennessee. This is the very first Doctor Who convention in Middle Tennessee, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's starting to wrap up, but having
a lot
great
of fun.
Time.
I'd say that it looks a lot of fun. I've loved looking at the pictures and the postings and the name droppings and things like that you've been doing over the last few days. The picture taken outside, was that with a drone by any chance?
Yes, that was with a drone.
Did it survive? Did anyone crash it? Or
no, it was fine. I also posted to the Facebook group a link to a video of the drone.
Oh, did you? I didn't see that one. I'll have to look it out for that one, I think.
So Julia has gone wandering off to find some people.
Right.
And
yes.
So what do we want to talk about?
Well, I was going to hand the show over to you, Kirby. I said, now we're going to have, for the first time ever, I'm really putting my neck on the line. I'm handing it over to Kirby. And you're asking me. It's all there with you. You know where it is. I'm sat in a room here with a collection of Doctor Who figures and a Mac. And you're there where it's all happening. Tell us about it.
Well, we've had Alice George, who played Courtney Woods. Oh, we have Andrew coming. And Andrew Cartmell is about to join us. And I've even got... He's in the room, and I've got the words for him to give us a you are listening to the 20 megabyte
yes,
podcast.
I can't believe it's taken the third appearance to actually get that to happen. It's really funny. But hello, Andrew.
It's like the Wizard of Oz hearing your voice reverberate around this room.
Thank you. But isn't it weird, though? I mean, that's normally the first thing that we ask people to do. And you've been on the show twice and forgotten both times. Not you, me. Forgotten to ask you both times.
I love the sound of my voice so much. It's amazing.
Do you? That's good. They're not that's
amazing that we didn't do it before. I'm just thinking this fantastic thing here. It's the light flashes according to the sound. It's really cool. I'm going to be hypnotized. It's like my own little disco here. What is this device called?
That's just an amplifier.
It's cute. It's got like a disco light on it, though. It's really nice.
Yes, I haven't got one of those.
Because this is audio, you can't see it. So no. I've broken the first rule of audio. I'll describe it to you. Now it's pink, now it's red, now it's green, now it's blue. Okay. that's enough of that. You get the idea.
Yes.
You get the picture. Repeat as necessary.
Yes. So, go on then. Shall we do the bumper now, so just so as I...
Yes, let's do the bumper now.
We're connected. Yes, go on. take it away.
This is Andrew Cartmell, and you are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's pretty good going, wasn't it? Well, a round of applause.
Yay! Well done, yes. I raised my glass to you, Mr. Cartmell.
Yes. That's Andy, by the way.
Hi, Andy. Did you want Did you want a non-megalomaniac one where I don't name-check myself?
No. That's perfect. That was absolutely perfect. I think you couldn't get much more perfect. If you listen to Colin Baker's first attempt, which is one of our jingles, then you'll understand how perfect that was.
He'd probably be an on the beer.
No, you probably know. I don't think he had, actually, to be fair. Anyway, yes, I was going to ask you. I've forgotten.
I should ask you questions.
Yeah, you couldn't.
What do you do for a day job? Do you like fish and chips? What's your favorite color?
Fish and chips. Love fish and chips.
Is it red, blue, green, pink, blue, pink, green, red, pink?
What? Fish and chips. Oh, color. Favorite color. Red, I suppose, because that's Southampton Football Club. Work at a supermarket, but I'm really a professional photographer. And that's about it, really.
Do you use digital or old school film?
Oh, digital. I've used old school film. We move ahead in the world. Although I wouldn't mind having a go at some old school, because there are some very good film cameras available. But
do you still do black and white? I'm not sure you could treat digital to have a black and white.
Yeah, but it does pretty good. I've got Adobe Lightroom, which switches thing to black and white very nicely. It's best to do it off camera than on camera, but black and white's good.
Enough about you, talk about me.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too. I've got your book on the shelf up there actually, which is interesting really, because I remember you saying, encouraging me to buy it off you. Somebody had put it to me that it might be a good idea to get to encourage you to acquire a copy of my first novel.
And what is the title of that?
Mary, what's the title of my first novel?
If you have to ask, I'm not buying it.
I've actually got both your novels.
Have you?
It's The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin.
Thank you, Mary. That's a point to Mary. Hang on, where's the ping button?
It's a damn good title.
It is, yes. It's self-explanatory.
Adam?
Yes?
Adam?
Yes. Adam? We're having a nice, lovely conversation there. Go on, yeah, Karen.
We have only one microphone, so we have to pass it
around, yes. So I remember those days. Yes. Thank you, Kirby.
Are you going to introduce the audience, Kirby, as well? You said you had a few people there as well.
We've got an ever-growing audience.
Audience. I like growing audiences.
The cream of the corn.
Oh, right.
Go on, then.
How about a mass hello? Hold the microphone towards them and get them all to shout hello together.
Hello!
Hey, that's brilliant.
Hello, Americans. Apparently, I've got to talk slowly. If I talk at my normal speed, no one understands me, so I'm told.
No one understands you anyway, Andy, I'm afraid. But carry on anyway. That's fine.
Oh, that's great.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam and Andy.
Yes.
Andy, why don't you tell the audience where you guys are? Because we all know that we are in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Well, everybody in the whole universe knows that I'm in Cowes on the Isle of Wight. I don't know where Andy is. He's somewhere on the mainland.
Right. I'm in a town called Guildford, which is in Surrey. It's just southwest of London. It's about half an hour out on a train. Originally, I'm from a place called Birmingham, which is in the Midlands.
With a very good record store called Ben's. Do you drop in next time you're in Guildford?
I do know, but yeah, my wife actually bought me a Kaiser Chiefs CD from there. She knows about the Kaisers, so I do know Ben's Records. Yes, just off Tunsgate.
Excellent store.
Is it?
Get some money from Ben for all this free advertising.
And why not, yes.
That's what I remember I was going to say, Andrew. I was just wondered if Kirby has pre-warned you that the more times you appear on the show that you get upgraded, and you've got the ultimate upgrade now to patron of the show. And the only other person to achieve this is Toby Haydoke. So congratulations, you are a patron of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. You can brag about that. I haven't got a badge or anything, but it's quite an impressive thing to be, isn't it, Kirby?
Does it mean we get a free coffee at Starbucks?
I can organise a free coffee at McDonald's, but I'll have to send you the little token.
Isn't there a coffee place at your store then, Adam? Couldn't you take him there?
Not yet. No, they haven't. We're still a co-op at the moment. They're in the process of changing into a Marks and Spencers, where there may indeed be a coffee cafe.
Adam, I just had Julia text me, even though she's standing 6 feet away from me.
That's very odd.
Whether or not we want to have her go out and try and find Alice George.
Well, that's a silly question. Right, let's see if she can work out the answer to that one without me providing her with it. Right then, go on then. Julia, what do you think my answer to that question is going to be?
No.
What?
Yes? Are you prepared for some questions for Alice?
No, I'm going to leave you with that.
I'll ask you questions.
Yes. You can ask some questions. I know Andy wants to ask her some questions. I've got a few things I might be able to ask off the top of my head. Yes, of course.
Looks like we have Matthew Kressel has just
joined
us.
Oh, for God's sake.
Even though he's sitting just the other side of Andrew.
Your PC ran into a problem that needs to restart. We're just collecting some error info, and then we'll restart for you 30%, 40% complete. And there was one of those little faces you do with the bracket and the colon, but it's not a happy face.
So this computer you use, is it Kirby's computer?
No, Kirby's computer's fine and dandy. This would appear to be Matthew's computer.
Oh, I trust Matthew's computer. That's good.
Yeah, it's my computer that suddenly decided to have an error. No sooner had I logged into Skype. I think the Skype update may have made the computer mad.
I don't know.
Since you do not have a badge to give Andrew as a patron of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast,
yeah.
I have improvised something, a little sign to give him announcing he is a patron of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
That's what I like to hear. Thank you, Matthew. See, that's...
Congratulations.
That's...
Let me take a picture of it.
I thought you might, yeah.
Let's see what they think in Starbucks.
I do wish Debbie was here.
In front of me, I have a rather frightening coiled Doctor Who scarf. I'm scared about what it might do later in the podcast.
Yeah, you never know what's inside a coiled Doctor Who scarf. How many people are in there now? I hear the idea that the audience was growing.
We've got David here who bought my book. Thank you very much, David, at the back. Yes, we got Curtis here. Yeah, hello. Hi, folks.
Oscar walked in the door.
Oscar just walked in the door.
Can we have everybody say their name and where they're from?
We certainly can. They may have to shout.
Or you can walk in.
This is Doctor Who podcasting at its very best, hasten to
point.
Tanya Levitt, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Hello, Tanya.
And I got the killer rabbits in control, so don't worry.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
I'll take a picture and to prove what she's talking about.
Curtis Davis, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello, Curtis.
I'm Ames London, and I'm from Henderson, Kentucky, and I am Osgood.
Hello, Ames.
Can we see a picture of you as Osgood then?
I like Osgood.
Are you all cosplaying, I take it, there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Right. Good. We'd like to see some pictures, please, you know, cosplaying. I mean, we can't, obviously, but so we'd like to see pictures of you lot cosplaying, please.
Yeah, don't upset Andy. Make sure you do that.
It's Mark Hall. I'm here with my wife, Kelly.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Mark. Where are you from, Mark?
Clarksville as well. Okay. I was originally born in Wisconsin, so.
Yeah.
Back of the room.
In the back. Want to come on up here?
You must introduce.
Come on.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Christy Blunt, and I'm from Clarksville.
Hello, Christy.
Hello, Christy.
It's quite a large audience. This is really good, isn't it? There's more people in one room listening to the show than normally listen to the show just when we're on a podcast.
Is it already left in Clarksville? Has everybody come to the convention?
This is it. This is the whole lot. Sorry about that.
A pleasure to meet you all, folks. Really is.
Right, then. This is the first time that Andrew's been on the show. That Andy's been on the show, and we've got two Andys, essentially. So, Andy, what are you going to ask Andrew?
Okay, Andrew, now you've obviously been involved.
You could ask why they don't call me Andy.
You could ask me why they don't call me Andrew.
That sounds more interesting. You go first.
It's just, I've actually got a brother-in-law called Andrew, which is confusing, and it's just I prefer the name Andy for the short name, and it's only my late mother used to call me Andrew, and if I got called that, I knew I was in trouble.
Oh, it was like, yeah, I understand that totally.
Yeah. But Andrew, you've obviously been involved in both classic and new series Who. I mean, which do you prefer personally working on?
New series pays better. The less facetious answer is I really like to write for the Seventh Doctor and Ace. So that's obviously that would be where my comfort zone is, and I take great pleasure in writing about any of the Doctors and any of the Companions, but I also obviously have the deepest fondness for those two.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably. Oh, I thought you were going to carry on then, Andy. I do apologise.
Do you know the term radio silence?
Yeah, no, it's the thing I hate because it means editing, which is something that I try and avoid at great costs. Well, not costs, actually.
Adam, what editing software do you use?
I use a thing called Sony ACID. It's actually quite an old piece of software. It was old when I bought it, and that was 4 years ago. But it's very effective.
Do you have to take ACID when you're using it?
I hope not. And maybe if I have problems with it, maybe that's the reason why I have problems with it, because I've never sort of considered that. But I suppose you could do. Would lead to quite an interesting podcast, I would have thought, actually. But no, I'd probably stick to glasses of wine.
We've got the flashing light for it right here.
What does that mean?
It's all different colours. It's blue, it's green, it's red, it's green, it's blue.
I've just got an orange one.
I took a video of the flashing light. I will post that later.
Yep. Oh, can't wait. Well,
that's going to go viral.
You could watch it for hours.
That's great.
It's so, better than most British television drama.
So, Andrew, as well, you must have done, I'm sure you've done UK conventions as well and American conventions. So, would you say that the American conventions are perhaps a little more esoteric, I think is the word I would use. I don't want to offend any of our American friends there, but certainly from what I've seen of American conventions on video and pictures, there's more cosplaying there. People tend to throw themselves more into here, where perhaps over here, I used to work on the Panopticons, part of the AV crew many years ago, and I think we're probably more restrained, I think is the word I would use. But how do you see the difference between the two?
Andy, in recent years, I would have said that was very true, but now I feel that gap is narrowed and the convention, we have all the cosplay. It's all in the UK. We're getting all that too. I'd say the difference is chiefly one of scale. The American conventions tend to be larger, and I'm not sure I'd say that they're better run, but they're more ambitious and they are very well organized.
Yes, I mean, I'd agree with that because I went to the Doctor Who celebration at in London, which was that the place, and so much cosplay going on there. Did you go to that, Andy?
Yeah, I went. I went on the Friday. Mm. You were there on the Saturday, weren't
I
you?
I was cosplaying all over the place. It was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, Andrew, you've been given a sort of a tour by Kirby.
Kirby very kindly took me on a tour of the record shops, which, trust me, is the one place I want to go on tour. That's very true. I rate all the great places of the world by the record shops. So, you know, I might go to Rome and say Rome's a bit of a disappointment. Not many record shops there.
So did he manage to do this whole tour thing without being at all pedantic?
I would say I was probably pedantic from the moment I got off the plane till now. Hasn't stopped.
So you out-pedanted Kirby?
No. Kirby was the ultimate gracious host, I got to say.
And
tolerated my insane vinyl addiction with amazing grace.
Well, I take my hat off to you. If I haven't got a hat, but if I had one, I'd be taking. That's amazing. So actually managed to. A round of applause. Out-pedanting Kirby. Wow. Mm.
That is something else, that is.
It is. God.
He'll be out drinking me next.
Let's say a worthy patron of this show.
Oh, definitely. Mm.
Hey, did Andy change his microphone? He's not breathing on it.
No, actually, what I've done is I wear a headset. I've actually sort of got it level with the end of my nose. So when I breathe, it's actually... Yeah, because apparently, Andrew, there was a great objection on last week's podcast to my breathing. I'm not allowed to breathe for 2 hours. But no, I've actually worked... If I put the microphone up there, you can still hear me, but I don't breathe into it. So it's...
Just to give you an update on Matthew's computer, it says, we couldn't complete the updates, undoing changes... Don't turn off your computer.
Well, that's a good thing. I like the don't turn off the computer bit because that could cause a few
little,
problems.
There's a little kind of circly thing that's circling around.
Is it buffering?
Oh, be buffering, yes.
Buffer, that's the technical term. I only did computer science for 5 years. Okay, did you guys have some Doctor Who questions? Or I could tell you about the record shops in Nashville.
Well, before we move on to Doctor Who questions, I want to. I hope you've sold lots of copies of your book.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I brought 3 dozen copies of my book.
Yes.
And yesterday morning I thought, why did I do this? It's nobody's going to buy it. I've sold every one. So I'm so chuffed.
All signed, I take it as well?
Yeah. All signed, you know, and I can now buy more jazz records and biscuits for my cat.
Do they all come with that lovely collection of cards that you were the one you sent me?
Yeah, it's true. You get the free postcards with it.
They're brilliant.
Anybody who hasn't bought the book, buy the book, get the free postcards, all signed.
And did you advise the people that obviously were disappointed when you sold out that you'd be able to send them some more?
I was terrified that they might buy it online. I'm saying, oh, wait till next year. I'll bring some cards.
Oh, that's nice. You're going back next year.
Never lose a sale.
You mean you can't buy from whowon.co.uk, Adam?
Well, you could talk to whowon.co.uk. That'd make it exclusive, wouldn't it?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
I think it could well be.
It usually is.
Do they sell in America, though? That's the question.
No, but they sell in Britain, but they sell... they're book specialists, Doctor Who book specialists, but they do sell other gubbins as well. But they pride themselves on their Doctor Who book range. And I think your book would be a brilliant addition to that range. I'm pretty sure that Annika Wills' book is on sale in that shop.
And very good in the UK, but for American bars, I don't know if they've got a distributor here yet. They're working.
Well, that's what I'm saying. People in America, as long as it's on the Who Won website, can buy the products from them. So that's an option. So I'm trying to do business for them now. Yep. And they get a certain amount of money off them for sponsoring the show. I have to get upgraded.
I wanted to break in to let everybody in the room know that is our sponsor, is Who dot one?
Who won dot co dot UK?
Thank you,
with
Matthew.
With Lavarzi, who makes the official fourth doctor.
Oh, no, whoa, no. Used to be. Lavarzi used to be. They're not anymore. They do make the scarves. They're just not. Not at the
Has
moment.
Has it been that long since I've been on the podcast that we've lost a sponsor?
Yes, it's in hiatus at the moment. But they may come back at some point. That sponsorship, I mean, Lavarzi. We still support them, though, because Melinda, the owner of Lavarzi, is a very nice chap. And he keeps on bringing out some brilliant Doctor Who products, of which I have a lot of. In fact, I live in my fifth Doctor cricket jumper most of the time. It's got a bit fluffy now. I'm going to have to get a new one, but... As I said to Deb the other day, this is Alpha Debbie, that it was getting a bit worn around the edges, and she said, well, not surprised, you're never out of a blooming thing. But it's a very comfy jumpy. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. Right. Oh, the dog's actually relaxed now, so that I'm not sure. I was hoping that Debbie would actually come round when... this is Debbie Melrose, everybody, our next-door neighbour, well, as Kirby would call it, next-door neighbour, co-presenter. She actually lives in the next street, but she's having a few internet problems this evening and is trying to get online from home, unfortunately. So.
And like I said, all she has to do is step out the door, walk over.
Yes, I covered that joke by saying next-door neighbour when she isn't my next-door neighbour. Yeah.
I heard a great phrase about Americans and British. The difference is that for Americans, 200 miles is not a long way, and for British, 200 years is not a long time. And I think that's what, you know, you and Adam, what you and Kirby just been saying there.
I'm confused.
Really sums it up. Well, for Americans, like a 200 miles is like next door, whereas for us, 200 years is like yesterday, where Americans, 200 years ago, is like ancient history, isn't it?
Possibly.
Yeah, I have a British friend of mine who's fond of saying that, you know, he had an American friend who came and visited him one time who's like, yeah, I'm getting on the train and going to Scotland for the day and coming back. And they were like, that's a major trip for me. What's wrong with you?
Yes, it would be, but who would live in Scotland anyway? Say, but better be careful, because my wife Dawn is half Scottish, so I ought to be careful.
Obviously, back to Andrew. Back to Andrew. Sorry. I was just, obviously, we're talking about you being on the show today, and obviously your third appearance, and it just so happens on Time Hop, on my phone, it mentioned your first appearance, which was 4 years ago. And
Has it been that long? It has.
You wouldn't believe it, would you? 4 years. And that was... We're only about 4 years old now, so it must be quite near the beginning. So you must have done hundreds of conventions since
then. Well, not that many, but it's building up. And the interesting thing is, when we had the 50th anniversary, that was a very busy year, and I thought, well, that's it, it'll tail off now. But in fact, it's continued to build. It's increasingly, hooray, Ellis George is in the house at last. Somebody people want to hear. Yay. Here she is.
Person who gave me my yo-yo.
Oh yeah, I saw the yo-yo.
Yeah, it's really cool. Sorry.
Oh, it looks cool.
There's a couple crazy guys.
I'm not crazy. How dare you?
Well, I'm not crazy yet because I'm not drunk. So
you are crazy.
You're not crazy to me. It's fine.
Hello, Ellis.
Hello, Ellis. How are you?
Hi, Adam. Hi, Andy.
It's lovely to have you on the show.
Whereabouts in the UK are you from, please, Ellis?
I'm from London.
Oh, right.
I thought that was fairly obvious.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, which bit of London? Sorry, this has been very nosy.
It's fine. I'm from Barking, which is East London-ish slash Essex.
So when you were on Doctor Who, did you have to spend a long period of time in Cardiff?
Yeah, I had, quite a few days. So, it would usually be 1 day off or 2 days off. But then there was points when I was doing Kill the Moon where I had to take, you know, a whole week off, which for me was massive because, you know, I don't usually just take weeks off of school, so...
Oh, lovely. Weeks off school, that sounds good, doesn't it? But didn't you have to go to abroad to do Kill the Moon?
Yeah, I had to go to Lanzarote.
Oh, you poor thing. Never mind.
Yeah, and it was for, 3 or 2 days. Yeah. And it was really, really cool. It was extremely hot, and I had to do one of my exams in Lanzarote, and it was amazing. I failed that exam, but that's besides the point, you know.
That's a great... I've been to Lanzarote. A great place, Lanzarote. A lot going on there.
Do you know, it's beautiful as well.
Oh, it is. It's a lovely place. We went to... when we went there, there's an underground cave where there's an optical illusion because you think you're looking down in the pit, and what it is a reflection of the water, of the open ceiling, so to speak. And it's a wonderful place, Lanzarote, and people are so friendly. Yeah. Loved it.
But you got 3 days in there, and then you had to come back to lovely Wales.
So yeah. How do your classmates treat you now? Are you a big celeb at school now, Ellis? Hello?
Oh, what good timing for the connection to go.
That's brilliant. Right. That's killed that.
Well, at least you did the fill-in bit about Lanzarote. He's back again now.
Well, you're too late. Ellis stormed out. She said this is really unprofessional, and she said her agent's going to be in touch.
We're a bunch of amateurs, the pair of us, aren't we?
Yeah, what happened there was the internet went into meltdown because Andy was rambling on about Lanzarote. I thought it was quite funny, actually.
Yeah. What I was saying, Ellis, was are you now a big celebrity at your school or your classmates ask you for autographs because, you know, obviously you've been on Doctor Who? I don't believe it. She hasn't gone again.
That's a brilliant question.
It's such a good question. The fact is he's blown the internet, you know. I've destroyed the internet with a question. So look, next time, Adam, you ask it and see if it works this time.
Do you want me to ask it?
Well, yeah. Because
it sounds much better coming from you.
Yeah, well, I've tried it twice. They've broken the internet. I can see that Kirby's still buffering because I can see
he's back again now.
Right.
He's back again now.
Yeah. Right.
Hello.
Why fine until I came along? Andrew.
Hello, folks. You're back again.
Right. Did you get any of Andy's question, Ellis?
No. Sorry. What did he say?
Okay, I was asking. Now, are you treated like a big celebrity at school with your classmates because you've been on TV and in Doctor Who? So,
Of course. Everybody holds my bags for me. I make everyone do my homework.
Oh, that's good.
I'll give them wedgies if they don't.
And why not?
No, do you know what? Wedgies. Everyone's normal. Everyone's the same. I've got like a few people in school have been like, oh my gosh, are you the girl from Doctor Who? And I'm just like, yeah. And I always think like whenever people say, sorry, are you the girl from Doctor Who? I'm always like, you know, does someone look like me? Is there someone else out there that looks like me? But no. Yeah.
Go on then, how'd you get the part? I've got to ask that question. I know you've been asked that millions of times, but I'd love to know.
Well, I can't tell anyone, but I bought it.
Yeah.
I bribed the casting director. No, you know, yeah, there was an auction actually. I was a bit bored on that day. I just went on eBay. But no, do you know what?
It'd be good if you get parts off eBay. That'd be brilliant.
That would be amazing. You know, if that happens, then tell me. But do you know what? My agent told me, you know, I've got an audition for you, and it's for a Doctor Who, but you can't tell anyone else. And so me and my mum were the only people that knew. And I went to the audition and I remember seeing someone before me and everyone always hears this. And I was like, wow, she is really cool. I was like, I'm not going to get this. I was like, let me try. And, you know, I put in all my effort as I usually do. And it's one of those things with auditions. You kind of just have to forget it after you've done it. And, you know, me and the casting director got on really well because at that point in time, I was turning a bit Essex and I just kept calling it my babe. And I was like, you're right, babe. And, you know, we had a lot of banter through that. And she was like, I hope to see you again. And then she did at the read through. And I remember my agent told me and I was like, what? I got it. Me? Ellis? Okay. I'm going to be on Doctor Who. And, you know, I was in my kitchen. I was just screaming and, you know. It was such a nice feeling. I felt quite proud. I did. I felt quite proud of myself.
Good.
You know, at the age that I was 15.
Yeah.
And it was my first thing to do. And I have a lot of friends because I go to a drama school on the Saturdays and I have a lot of friends who, like through that year before, were doing adverts and were getting on TV shows and doing this. And, you know, with an actor or actress, anyone will tell you, you've auditioned how many times before you get something. And everyone always thinks, you know, so that was your first audition. No.
No.
I've auditioned many, many times for things. And, you know, it's one of those things where everyone else was getting something. And I was like, wow, like, everyone's getting something. And I'm just here. I'm not getting anything. I'm not doing anything right now. I was like, I'm good, aren't I? I'm really good. I am, but you know, and then I got it and I was like, you know, I'm happy I didn't get anything else because if I got something else, I may not have been here. Hmm. So, yeah.
Did you have an idea of what the wider picture of having been in Doctor Who means? You know, the fact that you're at a convention now and that may go on for many, many years because of, even if you've had just one appearance in Doctor Who, you've obviously been in quite a lot of the last series.
Yeah. Do you know what? I also say this, like, when I first found out I only had one line, and that was go and then do it. Mm. And, you know, listen, I was obsessed with that line. I was like, okay, how am I going to do this line? All right, you know, I'm going to do it well. All right, go on then, do it. You know, so many times. And just to have that one line, I was excited. I was happy. I was so proud. I thought I was only going to have one line. I was fine. You know, as soon as I could tell my friends, obviously I didn't know that I was going to be in more episodes. I was like, I'm going to be in it. I was like, I don't care. It's one line, but I'm going to be in Doctor Who.
You're a professional, aren't you? You're a true professional, aren't you, Ellis? Because, you know, you're treating this one line, but you're treating it so seriously and making sure you get it exactly right. And, you know, fans like Adam and me and, you know, the people over there, you know, you're working for us, so great to see you really take this so seriously, even just one line, great.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, acting something, it's like anyone with a passion, right? When you have a passion and you like doing something, you're going to put all of your effort into it. And it doesn't matter if it's a hobby, if it's something like random and collecting buttons, you know, you're going to put all of your effort into collecting those buttons and getting them how you want to get them.
Or podcasting.
Yeah.
Collecting jazz
records.
Yes.
So that's literally what it was. It was just one of those things of, I had to do it because I like acting. I love acting. And when you stop anything that you love, you just don't know what to do with your life. Mm. It's like after you finish the Netflix series, you're just like, what should I do now? You're just scratching yourself with withdrawal symptoms every day. Mm. Like, yeah. You know, it's like when Sherlock finished and, you know, I nearly cried.
I haven't watched that yet.
When the serial finished, the radio program about, you know, the true life murder story.
It's so true though. You just don't know what to do. And with acting, I was so happy to be able to, you know, be on that show.
Yeah.
And when I did have it, when I was on it, you know.
And of course, there's a possibility where you're going to be the President of the United States.
Exactly.
I have to take
everything serious. Yeah. God. Of course I do. You know, when I was on the show, though, it was fun because when I first, when I done the first episode, there was quite a few children. Well, actually, there was one boy who was going against everything they told us. Don't take pictures of the TARDIS. Don't take pictures of the set. Don't tell anyone about anything, right? Because, you know, obviously they want it to be some whole big thing of, you know, what's going to happen? Like, do we know? You know, a few spoilers, but no one properly knows. And this boy was taking pictures of the TARDIS. He was opening the doors and he was shouting and swearing and doing this and doing that. And it's one of those things of, even though I was the only child in that scene with lines, I would never do that. I can't do that.
No.
Because I want to act. I want to act. One, I haven't been raised to be like that. You know, I find it would be a bit rude of me to ever say anything like that or say certain things in people's company if you think, you know, this might affect them in a certain way. And, you know, it was one of those things of, you just had to leave him to it. I told him, you know, I said to him, you know, I don't think they want us to take pictures of the TARDIS. Oh, well, I don't care. I was like, oh, you know, because obviously there's all of you supporters. Do you actually want to know yet? Or do you want that shock? You want that surprise?
Oh, we want that feeling.
Yeah, you want that feeling of when you first watch it and you're like, oh my gosh, it's back on.
Yeah.
And,
it'd be like having people tell you what you're getting for Christmas before you open in the morning.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's really great to hear you say that, Ellis. You know, it shows, you know, even though you're quite young in your career, you really are taking this so seriously. And also, are you a fan yourself of the series? I mean, are you a Doctor Who fan yourself, would you say?
You know what? As I always say, my brother, my eldest brother, Wade, got me into Doctor Who. My other brother, who's also...
That was my chair.
Oh, I do apologise. Sure,
it was the chair. I was just getting up to let the dog in. Sorry about that.
So, I have two oldest brothers, but my eldest brother, Wade, got me into it because he used to watch it when David Tennant came about. And, you know, I was like, okay, this is quite interesting. And obviously I'm younger than him, so I'm always trying to be there and be cool and be with him. You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to be with my brothers. I was literally that tag along, you know, okay, Ellis, I'm going to go to the shop. Let me come. I want to come, please, you know. But he got me into it. And when they changed David Tennant, I'm really bad with change. And so I was like, I'm not watching it. I'm not doing it. No, I don't want
to
watch it.
Well, that's what happened to my daughter, who was a little bit older than you, only slightly. She used to present the show with me. But as soon as Matt Smith became the Doctor, she started falling out of love with the series and didn't even give Peter Capaldi a chance.
No, but do you know what? That's actually really good.
Sorry, the dog's barking. Shut up, Magic.
Yeah, you just yeah, no, do you know what? And it was quite interesting.
Talking of daughters, yes, it is my daughter who did the show with me, just entering the room.
Pizza!
No, she's just walking through.
Oh, right.
And in her usual sort of. And there she's slamming the door. Right, there she's gone. Sorry about that. Yeah, where did we get up to?
I had a question. I wanted to know if that boy, the naughty boy, got sacked. Did he get sacked?
No, actually. Oh, actually, do you know what? A lot of the time they change quite a few of the students because, you know, when they're doing school scenes, it's hard to always get different students, you know. It wouldn't be realistic either because when you're in school, you mainly see the same people every day, you know. Even if it's a boy 2 years younger than you or a girl 3 years older than you, you'll probably see them throughout the day or throughout the week, you know. You probably won't notice if they weren't in or something like that, but, you know, they change the people a little bit. And I think I saw him once after that, but I don't know. It was really.
Did he get to keep his photos?
I don't know. I just remember him taking lots, and I was like, okay.
But if he's going to be on the telly, there's a bit. Don't really need to take photos.
We should name him and destroy his career right now.
Look, do you know what? I can't even remember his name.
No, that's a disappointment.
That's a good actor, obviously. So yeah.
But you got to go into the TARDIS, didn't you? A couple of times.
Can we hear the dogs again?
No, no.
they'll shake their ears if you like.
No, you did that earlier on. So, yeah, what was it like stepping into that TARDIS set, you know, and acting in it?
It's really interesting, actually. You know, when you go round, you don't expect everything to work. You just think, you know, it's a TV programme. You know, they're just the bare minimum. No, no, no. Doctor Who goes all the way. I remember in my backpack that I was wearing in Kill the Moon, there were books in it. There was a physics book in it. There was a biology book. There was a pencil case. There were actual pens and pencils in the pencil case. Like, you know, the phone was turned on. We had it on Tumblr when I was saying I'm updating pictures on Tumblr. It was like they were going the full way. And it's so interesting to see a program do that, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to be like that. And it was so interesting stepping into the TARDIS. Of course, if you've seen Doctor Who before, I never understood how they done the whole, there's the door, but it's massive on the inside. And then, you know, I literally hadn't thought about it, you know. Mm. There's a separate, like, actual staging thing for the TARDIS, and it's massive. Like, it looks like wood on the outside. It's like a kind of wooden arena, just a tiny bit. Yeah, like a smaller kind of wooden arena. Mm. And, you know, all the steam works, all the lights work. If you switch something, it something else will happen. And it's so, it really is. And when I first stepped into the TARDIS, I was literally like a 5-year-old. I really was, you know, when it's one of those things where usually in life, there's a lot of things that you can compose yourself and you're like, oh, you know, it's fine. This is really exciting, but it's fine. But it's like, oh my gosh, I'm in the TARDIS, you know, like, wow, that's me. I'm in here. Like, I had to tell all my friends, yeah.
I'm pretty sure their friends can see it.
Yeah.
So what's some...
Literally.
So I'm not going to ask you if you're going to be in a new series, because that wouldn't be fair. But, I mean, what's coming up for you acting-wise now?
So far, nothing. But as I always say, you know, it's based on whatever is right for me, and yeah. I don't want to do something too far away from what I like and what I believe in, because if you do, you you'll end up resenting it, and you know, you won't really like what you're doing.
So is this the first Doctor Who convention you've been to?
No, second. I went to Gallifrey 1 in February.
Was that fun?
Yeah, it was really fun.
And
it was very interesting. It was like the first time that I'd been to like just a Doctor Who convention. I didn't realize, like, I knew of conventions, you know, Comic-Con, everyone knows of Comic-Con, but I did not know that there was just like Doctor Who conventions, and you know, it was quite interesting to see.
So what's the thing that sticks in your mind that you've enjoyed most about this particular convention?
What I've enjoyed
apart from
most,
getting a yo-yo, obviously.
Yeah. that actually might be it. I think it's the people that I've met.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I just love meeting new people, and everyone who's here, even like everyone who's supporting, and you know, everyone who's bought their tickets, or everyone who wants a sign in or photo, even when you know I'm on my way to my hotel room, and you know, they're like, oh, can I
get your money?
And they're like, you know, can I get a photo? And I'm like, yeah, I want a photo. Oh, can I get one too? You know, can I have one? Can I post it on Twitter? You know.
It must be really odd for you, because I guess, you know, you want to go and ask people for autographs, and there's people asking you for autographs. I mean, how is that odd for you?
When it first happened, I did not actually have an autograph properly. I had a really weird one, and I hadn't decided what I wanted to do. And then I was just with my mum on the train, actually, and this was before the episodes had been let out, and I was this is on my way back from filming, and I remember I must have been like just doodling on paper. And my mum was like, why don't you try this? And I was like, oh, that's genius. I love it. I love, love, love it.
Well, like, don't tell us, because you don't want anybody forging your signature.
No, it was fun. I like signing things. I think it's really cool. And I love taking pictures. If you already know, I love selfies. Like,
oh, good. Well, we'll have to. Have you got a Twitter account?
Yeah, I have. EllisGeorge11. I have Instagram as well, EllisGeorge. And I have a Facebook page, EllisGeorge.
All right. I'll just know EllisGeorge11. All right, I've got to follow that. I take it you post these pictures on Twitter and Instagram. And
If you go onto my Twitter or Instagram, you will see every kind of convention that I've done so far, there are pictures.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing
these.
There
are pictures.
I've just found your Facebook page. I don't do Twitter.
You're
so just
quick.
Oh, hey. Good I'm Lord. Still sober. I can do things.
Limit. Ellis, before we move on and hopefully keep you on and keep you talking, I've been advised by text, sort of, by Kirby to remind you to do the bumper for the show. So we'd better do it now, and then I can drop it in, and then we can move on.
My name's Ellis George, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hey, these lot are really professional at this, aren't they? Oh, yes, a round of applause.
They're actors, you know, they're professionals, not amateurs like us, Adam. What do you expect?
Right, so you've done two American conventions.
Yeah, I have.
So time to do some British ones as well.
No, do you know what? I've done two British.
Have you?
You said Comic-Con, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, sorry, I thought Comic-Con, there was an American Comic-Con.
No.
That shows how much I know, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I done one in Hertfordshire.
Yes.
No, wait, Hertfordshire? I think so.
That does exist. There is a Hertfordshire.
Yeah. No, I know. You know what it is? I think it was Hertfordshire. Yeah, it must have been. Let's just stick with that. Listen, okay, no well, one.
This. Well, just say Hertfordshire. Nobody will know it wasn't.
Yeah. But yeah, they've all been quite interesting and different. And I remember when I first went to my first one, it was overwhelming. I was like, wow, are you sure people want my autograph? You know, like, I was expecting, okay, maybe like 20 people might want it. And I was like, oh, okay, quite a few people want my autograph. Oh, I must be quite cool. But yeah, it was really fun, because when I went to the convention, there was a couple of wrestlers, Shelton Benjamin, a Samoan guy. I did not know his name, but he's Samoan. And a Mexican guy. I forgot the other one, but still. Yeah, and my best friend, like, really loves wrestling, and he wants to become a wrestler. And so, you know, when I was there, I was like, sorry, could I just quickly, can I have a favor quickly? And they were like, yeah, sure, what do you want? And I was like, my best friend is, like, really likes wrestling. Could I quickly FaceTime him and could you say hi? And then he was like, yeah, sure, sure. I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And I was like, Stefan, look, look what I've done for you. And he was like, oh my gosh, Ellis, you're the best ever. And I was like, thank you. You know, and it was so much fun. Like, when you do something good for someone else, don't you feel just great? Like, absolutely, you know, when you do something, you do something really good and you know that they'll love it. And you, or like when you're on your way to give them something and you know that that's something that they'll be overwhelmed and they'll just be so happy. And it just fills you with so much. Oh, like my face right now, I'm trying not to smile, but like, it's just honestly, it's that, like, it's this face. It's honestly this face. Oh.
Okay. I just think when, obviously you did the series, you had to wait for it to come out and they started running them. Did you sort of gather around with your family or around the telly watching your appearance on Doctor Who?
Do you know what? My first episode, I watched at my brother's house with my older brother, Wade. And then I went back to his house after, because I went to a party after, and, you know, I was like, yeah, my episode was on. And then I went back to his house, and my other brother, Quinn, I watched it again because he wanted to see it. He's like, oh, you won this episode? I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he knows nothing about Doctor Who. He literally,
we'll
he's
have to,
he's
have to change
of,
that, won't we?
Yeah, he's one of those people. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He has the TARDIS, doesn't he? Yes, Quinn. He's a Time Lord, isn't he? Yes, Quinn. Like, you know, he knows nothing. So he's like, but why is this happening, El? Just watch it. Just watch it, Quinn. Just watch it. Pay attention, maybe. No? Okay. Yeah. But, and then I remember, he saw my name in the credit, the credits, and, he was like, oh my gosh, your name's even in the credits. And I was like, yeah, I know. So, you know, it was really cool. And, the second episode, I think that was, actually, do you know what? I'm thinking, yeah, that was the caretaker. I'm just thinking about the second episode. Sorry. Yeah. Anyway, the second episode, who did I watch that with? I watched the second episode on my own.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, because, no, do you know what? I wanted to just kind of sit back and watch it. And, you know, when you're watching a program or a film with your family, you know that you're not going to watch the program or the film. You know you're going to talk. Or you're gonna, just be quiet. Yeah. Just be quiet.
That's,
oh, someone go
point,
get me,
yeah,
this. Oh, you know.
That's like trying to watch Doctor Who on Christmas Day.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Yeah. You really, you can't do it. There's always someone wanting to do something else. And it was kind of like that. And the sixth episode I watched with my best friend Harriet. Well, yes, one of my best friends, Harriet. And, you know, I remember watching it. And she was like, using so much, Ellis, using so much. Oh, El, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud. And, you know, I've got really good friends. So,
yeah,
you know.
Well, that's good.
And, you know, we was watching it. And at the end of the episode, I was like, what's it called? You know on Twitter when you're...
Hashtag something rather.
Trending. I was trending. Courtney Woods was trending on Twitter. I was number 9 in the UK, right?
Excellent.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's me. I was like, that's me. I'm not as mean, but that's me, you know. And then I remember, again, because I love dancing, as you guys know, I put on a song and I was like, yeah, I'm trending. I'm trending, you know. And I had a little dance and I went to my friends because it was their birthday. And I was like, yeah, I'm trending on Twitter. You should check. And in the seventh episode, I watched with all of my best friends, and you know, it was fun, but a lot of them don't watch Doctor Who.
Again, so have to put that right.
Yeah, of course. So, like, one of them literally was like, so what does this do? But why is he flying in the blue box? I was like, what's your life? Like, what what have you done for 16 years of your life? Have you had a childhood? Or, are you from England? No, you know, I don't know. Living under a rock or something? I don't, And, you know, I had to explain so much to him. But everyone was like, oh, no, you've done really well. I'm really, really proud. And, you know, it's great being able to make your friends and your family and yourself proud.
Absolutely. And,
you know, at this age, I was like, wow.
I think you would have done that anyway, even if you hadn't been So did you manage to watch the whole series or did you only watch the ones you were in?
Oh, no. I watched the whole series.
So what was your favourite episode?
I'd have to say, no, I can't say that, actually.
You can say whatever you like.
I loved it, right? But I hated it at the same time. Oh, but no, I did like that one. Wait. Eva, it was called Orient Express.
Right? Murder on the Orient Express. Not murder. Mummy on the Orient Express. That was Mary's favourite story.
Yeah, do you know what? I liked that one, but only because it was based in like the 20s, right?
20s?
Yes. 20s? Sort of. Or where Danny Pink dies. Mm. And it was one of those ones when the way they done it, it was so smart and it was so cool, but... You know when you try and convince yourself that a character's not dead because you've got so connected to them? And so when it happened, I was like, oh, he might just be in the hospital. Oh, the doctor can do something. Maybe he can go back in time, you know? He's not dead. I swear he's not dead, you know?
But he still got to appear in the Christmas special.
It really did break my heart.
It was a bit of a shocker, to be fair.
If you saw my Twitter on that day, I was like, nobody talk to me. I'm in mourning. Okay, it's over. I don't need this. I don't need this right now. No, but and I love Sam so much as a person. He was so nice and he was so funny. And he's from like East London too.
Yeah.
And so like we always bantered each other, and it was really cool. It was really cool, but it was so sad that episode. It was so good, but it was so sad that you don't want it to be good. You want to hate it, but it was great. But I don't know, you can't really, it's difficult. It is very, very extremely difficult.
What, to pick one you like as the best?
Yeah. Mm. What are your favourite episodes?
What, of this, the last series?
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said now because I love them all. I think Listen was my favourite one.
I would agree with you, Adam. Listen, I thought it was very clever. I think it's one of the best episodes ever. Mm. And yet a lot of people don't like it. We were talking about it last night with some friends. A lot of people don't like that, but I thought it was just so clever.
Yeah, I heard that, but I think it's like when you're listening to a piece of music, right? And you hear something in the music, and it might just be a little bit of piano, and you're like, wow. You know, there's so much over the piano, but wow. If you hear that subtle little piano playing in the background, and it's really nice and it's great, and you're like, no, wait, you've got to listen to it properly. So it's like the episode, you have to watch it properly, because that episode's quite funny as well. If you watch it properly, it's extremely funny, and it's smart, and it's cool, and it's new, and it's completely different. And I love that. I love that they done that. It was a risky thing to do, you know. Make it so different, but if you're ready to move on and accept change, which I'm finally ready to do, you know, you enjoy it. You really enjoy it.
Well, my other sort of favourite one, but just simply because I love the concept of it, was Kill the Moon. I love the idea of the moon being an egg. I know other people didn't like that, but I absolutely
couldn't stand
loved it. You couldn't stand it?
Nah. That was awful. Really,
I loved it. I just loved the whole... What are you laughing at? It's not funny.
But we're fans, that's the whole point. We're allowed to disagree and differ. We all have our own favourites.
Yeah,
and
true.
I know Mary had a problem with when the bit with the lights on the earth going out or on to vote for you know, the earth being saved or whatever. But you could see the other half, which was in daylight. And she had a problem with that. But as a story concept, I absolutely loved it.
Each their own, though, and that's the whole point about fandom. You know, people like different things, we'll have different views, and we're never going to agree.
But there's stories in the world that are daft, and they're just sort of slightly fantastical, that, you know, where you don't consider the actual realities of them because they're just fantasy. And Doctor Who is a science fantasy science fiction fantasy TV show. So you don't really have to worry about the fact that the other side of the... It was a romance of the idea of the lights going out.
I completely agree with what you just said. Like, completely. It's one of those things, right, with Doctor Who, you just kind of have to let yourself go with it. Yeah. Like, when you let yourself go with it, then, you know, you forget everything else that's happening. And it's a good way to, you know, if you've got anything going on or anything, you can just get away from it, get away from anything, because you don't have to think. It's like taking you away to a different place, because you're very into the episode. It's like anything that you watch, you know. You know when you're watching something so hard that you start frowning, and you're watching TV and you look really like, what's wrong with you? Nothing. I'm really loving this. It's like when I watch Sherlock, and everyone here, you must know, how many times have I told you guys I love Sherlock? Obsessed.
I have heard it a couple of times since you've been on, funny enough.
Exactly. And when I watch Sherlock, I frown. I frown so bad.
Stop shaking your ears.
I didn't shake my ears then. It was magic. Yeah.
But do you know what? It's because I really like Sherlock. That's why.
Do you? Never would have guessed.
Oh, gosh. Really?
Apparently, Andy's got to go. The lovely Dawn is getting one of those shepherd's books around his neck and is dragging away from the computer as we speak.
Yeah, I've got to go have my dinner. Hey, Ellis, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. It's just your enthusiasm, your fun, the sense of you've had fun, you've enjoyed it. It really comes across. You know, I hope we're going to see you again soon on the show. And if we don't see that, I've got you on the Facebook page now liking that. So hopefully we'll see you doing something else. But
thank you.
Thanks a lot, mate. You'll take care. And good, all you Americans, lovely to meet you all.
Thank you, Andy. And well done, Ellis, for keeping him quiet for about an hour. That's quite impressive.
The audience has grown quite a bit.
Oh, good.
We got here.
What did you bribe them with?
We've got, I think, looks like we have 22 people in here.
Excellent. Wow. Nothing else going on there this evening, obviously. That was brilliant. Is Ellis still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there. That's good. Excellent. That's right to hear. I think you're very intelligent and you have a views on the world and life in general, which seem to be quite in place at such a young age.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I've heard that quite a few times, honestly. I don't know. I guess it's just the way I've grown up, and I've been very lucky in the way that I've grown up. I've grown up with a lot of love. Bye-bye. And, like, you know, a lot of friends. And I was very lucky for that. I was very, very lucky. And the views that I have, of course, you know, I think them now. But I remember it came to a point where I realized, you know, as I got older, the views that I had when I was, like, 9 or 10, like, very, very, like, strict and very, you know, oh, you can't do certain things if you're this, if you're that. But... you know, you realize that your views are always going to change. They're always going to change. And once you accept that and you accept that you're going to change as a person and that it's a good thing that you're going to change, then I think that's where that comes from. I really do.
So obviously you're an actor, when did you realize that was what you wanted to do?
I kind of always knew I wanted to do something in that industry. Especially because when I was younger, I used to watch Disney Channel a lot. And I remember I used to watch Sarah Jane as well. Sarah Jane Adventures. Like, that was my thing.
Yeah,
that
was good,
oh, that was the best.
It was good.
It was amazing. It was amazing. It was such a great kids show. But I think, I think if you're an adult as well and you have to sit with your child and watch it, it's not going to be boring. And, you know, the episodes always took you away and you're always like, wait, are they actually going to save the world today? You know, it was always interesting. And it was one of those things I wanted to make people feel like that. I wanted people to see me and think, wow, like, she's actually really cool. Like, she's really good. I'd love to go and watch her. I'd pay to watch her film. I'd pay to see her in the theater. And obviously I have two older brothers who I always talk about. And I could always see myself as the kind of person who could play a younger sister, an annoying younger sister, in fact. So, you know, obviously that was me naturally, but, but, you know, it was one of those things I always knew that if I was to do it, I felt like I could do this. I was brought up and I had a lot of love and I was very confident from a young age and I was lucky for that. And I think that's why it was quite easy for me to be able to fit into that kind of group of, you know, drama and all of that kind of stuff. So, brilliant. Yeah.
I'd say thank you, Alice. It's been an absolute pleasure. A pleasure is an understatement for what you've provided us with. It's roasted my voice, which is it needs a rest because I do rabbit on quite a lot. And it's provided us with a lot of fun and pleasure. So thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, no, it's fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, please come back again. Oh, a lovely round of applause. I appreciate it. Was that for me?
Well, I think that Andrew and Ellis need to go downstairs to the final panel of the day.
I thought they might.
So we'll probably have to start wrapping it up.
Well, we're going to have to do that anyway because I've got a party to go to.
Okay. But let's ask the let's ask the audience to say – to just give another shout out. Everyone, say hi.
Hi.
Good Lord, there is a lot of people in there. I reckon they only went in there, Ellis and Andrew in there. They weren't interested in us, were they, really? Come on, admit it.
No, we only had three people when we started.
Oh, okay. Well, I know that. By the way, you lot, listeners, that's live listeners, that's listeners to the show, if you want to join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, you can do. It's on Facebook, and you can join it. And please do. It'd be interesting to see how many people that goes up by. It's currently at 417, I believe. Shall we have a look?
Adam, did you just tell people to join our Facebook group because they could find it on Facebook?
Yes, that was me. That's called comedy, Matthew. Oh, I'm on the wrong page now. You put me off then. There we are. 20, how many? We've got 419 members. Three new. Who are the new members? Peter Wealdon and Ames London. Is that Ames that's there?
Yes.
Well, excellent. That's what I like to see.
Yes, I'm the Osgood. I'm Ames.
Well done. That's what I like to see. Live joining of the group. That's the first time I've said welcome someone to the group and they've actually answered back to me there and then. That's fantastic. I love it. Yes, apologies everybody that Debbie couldn't make on the show today. She was at home and I had a message from her saying that her internet was down and her husband was phoning up and complaining about it. So he's probably, by the looks of things, still on the phone complaining about it, hence he hasn't come and joined us on the show. I'm sure she's going to be absolutely gutted she didn't get a chance to have a chat with Ellis. But that's the way it goes sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, some people have all the luck.
Or bad luck, in fact.
That too.
Yes. So, well done, everybody, for a fantastic convention. It does look good. I hope you're going to do it again next year.
I hope so. Mm. I think so. It's been a very big success.
I'd love to have a go at doing a convention here, but unfortunately, I'm quite a busy person, as you can imagine. I don't really think I'd have the time, but somebody should really do one on the Isle of Wight. It's a nice place to come and do a convention.
Isn't there an Isle of Wight Doctor Who Facebook group where you could suggest this at, Adam?
Well, yes, but unfortunately, the Isle of Wight Doctor Who Facebook group has not a lot of members. Let's have a look at that one, Isle of Wight Doctor Who fans. It says we have 54 members. Yes, and most of the postings from me. It's better than none, but it's not enough to... Although a lot of the Doctor Who fans on the island are closet Doctor Who fans. They don't like to admit it. I'm not one of those people, obviously. But,
well, you have done 200 and something episodes of a podcast, so I kind of doubt you're in any kind of closet, Adam.
Well, it is quite a small room, and it's a small island, Kirby.
Yes, I know.
And Phil Stanfield's just joined live here on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. This is really good. We're going to...
Yep, come up.
Come up. You can't be anonymous now.
Hold on.
Now that's going to stop everybody joining now because I think they're going to have to speak on the show.
My name's Phil Stanfield. I'm from Clarksville, Tennessee.
And welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. You really don't know what you've let yourself in for.
And it's worth mentioning, of course, we'll be doing a live show as well from Conquistadors coming up in July.
So. Is anybody in the room going to go to that one? Apart from you, obviously, Matthew.
Yeah, we've got a few definites and a few maybes, so.
Well, mention to him who the guests are.
Well, it's worth mentioning we have Paul McGann will be coming, as well as Eric Roberts, who played the Master in the TV movie alongside him. Eliza Roberts, who was in the movie as well. She's actually Eric Roberts' real-life wife in real life. I just said a lot of words, rhyme that rhyme. We also have Jason Hay Ellery from Big Finish. He's the founder and executive producer at Big Finish, which has done all the audios that Paul McGann has done. And Kelly Yates, who was one of the artists on the IDW Doctor Who comic.
That's really handy. You know why that's really handy, Matthew?
Why is that handy, Adam?
Because you can ask them all to do Con GT next year while you're there at Con Cerberus.
So we could just keep swapping convention guests around. So.
Ideal. Sort of a bit of convention guest swapping around and sharing and stuff. Sharing is the modern word, isn't it?
And Alice George has left the room.
Oh, I thought she'd left a long time ago. Oh, sorry, I would have said goodbye to her properly.
She was trapped by a lot of fans signing her autographs.
Oh, she's signing autographs, was she? Well, at least I managed to get her to do a bumper. We're all up on bumpers now. There's none of our previous guests that have not done bumpers. So I suppose that might be it for Andrew Cartmell on the show until he appears at the next convention. Is he coming to your one? Is he going to Con Cerberus?
He will not be at Con Cerberus this year. So.
Well, maybe next year then. We'll get him on for a fifth time. We'll have to invent a new sort of title for somebody who's been on the show four times. Mug? No, that wouldn't be it.
What is above patron?
Don't know. Patron. Governor.
Favorite aunt?
Governor of the show, Andrew Cartmell.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to look that one up. Something above patron. There must be something above patron. Because I used to be governor. It must be governor because there was patrons of the school I was a governor at. And the next stage up would be governor. And then the next stage up, that would be head teacher, I suppose.
Wouldn't we have like a favorite aunt or favorite uncle designation?
Favorite uncle of the show, Andrew Cartmell. That's got a ring to it.
We're
going to have to wrap it up soon because I've got to go down to the Duke of York
Well,
pub.
We need to wrap it up so we can all head downstairs. So
yes, because you've got something big to watch, haven't you?
No.
Yeah, well, that's big. That's bigger than this show, surely, at the moment. But you don't know what's going to happen next year.
At the moment. And everybody is leaving the room in a mass exodus.
Oh, okay, then I better leave the podcast in a mass exodus. That's been fun. Has this been fun? I thought it might be fun, but you can never be absolutely... Hang on. Debbie Melrose is online. Okay. On sporadic intellect and gratuitous use of my 4G allowance to say a huge sorry that I could not make the recording. Hope you all are having fun. And a huge hello to Con GT. That's from Debbie Melrose. I'll write back. They all say hello. Or should I say hi? They all... Oh, I spelt that wrong. I didn't put an A in it. Say hi. There you go. I've done it. So if you've sort of, by proxy, have communicated back to Debbie Melrose, and I hope she listens to this show to see what fun we had.
Yes.
Right. So apparently we're recording normally next week, next Sunday. So I hope I'll see the normal unusual incumbents and some new listeners as well for which will be episode 260, Planet of Giants.
What are we going to be discussing?
Planet of Giants.
Planet of Giants. Okay. The expanded version.
The expanded version, which Andy says is on Daily Motion.
Yes.
Do you remember a few years ago when we used to discuss Daily Motion and Reese Parton used to pronounce it like this? Daily Motion. Because it was a bit of a swear word back then, apparently. But yes, that's next week, next Sunday, and I think Andy said he can't make that, but never mind. Planet Giants, hopefully Debbie will be back for that one. And thanks everybody for being on the show. It's been absolutely brilliant, as I've said before, and it's been well worth. I'm really looking forward to Con Cerberus and Con GT again next year. It's a shame I can never go to them myself, but hey, I'm there in spirit.
And somewhere in there, there's going to be Chicago TARDIS for me and Matthew.
Ooh.
And maybe Kirby?
No, not this year.
Not this year?
Ooh. Okay. Did we do Chicago TARDIS last year? No, you did.
We recorded something and sent it in, I think.
Oh, we'd have to try and do something live, won't we?
Well, we've tried. I haven't ever been able to convince the convention organizers up there to do it. So.
Oh, we'll have a go, shall we? Even if we can't.
I make no promises.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew.
I make no promises.
That's always worth it. Hey, Matthew, that's only 2 week gap in between your appearances on the show. That doesn't happen very often.
All right, well, we're going to have to run, so...
Yes, indeed. Thanks, everybody. See you all again soon. Tatty bye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Yeah, well, I'm going to shut this computer down and I'll be back on my horrible connection. Lisa stayed up for like an hour.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Wait, that's what she said.
Goodbye, Kirby.
Bye.